Who's the most important transfer this year not named Byron Brown?
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the book, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir, we're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, a.k.a. Charlie Five, and we are ready to get after it. Today's episode is brought to you by BuyAuburn.com, where we're matching up Auburn-owned businesses with Auburn fans. Do business with Auburn people. Today, we're going to be talking about the most important transfers not named Byron Brown, and maybe from a different perspective. And then we're going to do the same thing with returners from just a slightly different perspective, not necessarily just on the field production. We'll jump into that in just a second. And then Auburn is back. Auburn Hoops is back in the Players Era tournament, I guess. I guess it's just called the Players Era NIL tournament right around Thanksgiving. A little bit different format this year. We're going to break that down as well. CBS writer Brad Crawford, he put out, this was on the 5th, so this was a couple days ago, college football's 26 most important transfers for 2026. It was heavy with quarterbacks and pass rushers, and Auburn had two make the list. You had Byron Brown at 11, and then Deshaun Womack, I think, at 20. So those two guys made his list, and it got me thinking about that question. Who's the most important transfer? And it's easy to point to Byron Brown because, you know, big-time quarterback. Auburn struggled at quarterback. I think this season's going to live and die based off of how he performs. So that one's easy. Okay, so let's put that one in a bucket off to the side. All right, let's go with guys not named Byron Brown. And I want to look at this from a slightly different perspective. Okay, rightly or wrongly, there are going to be some fans that look at certain players that Alex Golish brought in and compare them directly to the players that they perceived he or they let go. Okay? And again, maybe that's fair, maybe that's unfair, but I think it's important when you have those particular players that are labeled that way, that it's very important for those guys to perform to show, hey, look, trust me, look, I know that guy left, but I can find somebody that's going to be just as productive and has bought in and is going to be better for the overall, you know, health of the team or whatever. Okay, so I got a couple of guys that we're going to look at that kind of fall in that category, and the first one is going to be Keyshawn Singleton. There is still going to be an emotional attachment to Cam Coleman. There's still going to be a lot of people out there that probably harbor ill feelings is probably too extreme. There's still probably some fans out there that are mad that Cam Coleman's gone, that they let Cam Coleman get away. And they'll look at it that way. So in the way that you cope with that is, or the way you deal with it is, you look at who was brought in and how they perform on the field is going to determine how they feel about that whole situation of letting Cam Coleman go. Now, I know Cam Coleman was a really good player. He made some unbelievable plays while he was here, and the ranking and the fanfare that was around him, again, is just going to still kind of pull at some of the Auburn fans' heartstrings. So if your guy you bring in doesn't quite perform up to the level of what they feel like Cam Coleman would have, again, year one, it's just going to create, you know, some bad feelings. So I think it's really important, and I think he will. I think you're going to see the way this system operates, and the way I watched him in practice and the way you see him perform at A-Day, I think he's going to be everything on the field in the stat sheet, in the box score that we thought Cam Coleman could be. But that one's very, very important. Another one that's very important to me is Andre Jordan Jr. I know that may be seem like it comes out of left field, but there's a ton of folks that love Jay Crawford. Okay. I still love Jay Crawford. I think Jay Crawford is a number one corner in the SEC. And, you know, if you put me in a room, I'd still love to have a conversation around that particular one. Andre Jordan Jr. is going to have those same feel those same shoes that Keyshawn Singleton's going to have to fill. There are going to be a lot of people that are going to compare that play. If the secondary, if the corners are getting beat a lot, it's going to be like, dadgummit, I knew it. They shouldn't have let Jay Crawford go. Maybe even Canley shouldn't have let him go. And those are the reasons why I think this particular position is very important as well. I know how fans act. I know how fans react. I know how fans think. That's going to be one that they have circled that they're watching. Andre Jordan Jr. replacing, you know, your number one corner, replacing a Jay Crawford who was a bona fide, proven number one corner. So that's definitely going to be one to watch. And then this is not necessarily the exact same scenario, but I think both offensive tackles are very, very important for, I don't know if we just want to call it messaging or fan vibes or just overall good feelings about this staff in general and how they build a team. So we talked about like the guy going out and who you bring in to replace him. Can those guys, you know, at least play to the level or maybe a little bit better? And then offensive line in general is always a pain point. Like literally, I can do a show. We can have a conversation. We can talk about Byron Brown. We can talk about the wide receivers. I guarantee you, before we even get to this segment, someone will comment because I haven't talked about an offensive lineman yet. The offensive line is the most important. Auburn fans just are very, very triggered, and rightfully so, about poor offensive line play. Rightly or wrongly, you know, is it personnel? Is it coaching? It's always going to be at the top of the conversation. And it kind of starts in this league, man, you got to have good tackles. And you brought in two, one slightly banged up. He should be back to full speed now. Another from a lower level conference who played at a very high level, a lower level that played at a high level. Wow, that's a wild sentence right there. Played in a lower conference, played really well in that lower conference, taking a step up in competition. This is the first real views, first real eyes that we'll get on how this staff can assemble an offensive line in college football today. If you go through another year where, shoot, anytime you get into an obvious passing down, it's a sack or the quarterback's running for their life, it's just going to make it to where like, oh, man, here we go again. Here we go again. If it's ever longer than 3rd and 5, just punt it. You know what I mean? Like, we've been there. I probably spent a pretty good amount of money as well on those two tackles. It just matters, man. It just matters now. Like, you got to hit. If you're going to single some dudes out and bring them in as your focal points, as your guys, didn't necessarily let anyone go, you know, that I don't think anybody would be super duper sad to let go. Had some guys graduate. You know, you could have brought back Big X, I guess, and ran it again. I still think he's going to be good. Like, I'm telling y'all, he's going to be drafted next year. The coaching they received last year was so incredibly awful. I'm telling you, that guy is going to get drafted this year. Regardless, it's very, very important to hit on your tackles. So we got Keyshawn Singleton, who, rightly or wrongly, people are going to associate with Cam Coleman. Okay, so it's very important for him to pop. Andre Jordan Jr., rightly or wrongly, fans are going to lump him right together with Jay Crawford, and people love Jay Crawford. And then your offensive tackles, man. Stanton Ramil, Joe Simmons, those guys need to hit. Let me know what you think. The easy one, again, is Byron Brown. I didn't want to just lean right on to Byron Brown because that's just too simple. So take a look at it in a different way. We're going to do the exact same thing with returners. But before we do that, let's give a quick shout-out to the PTAC, Precision Tune Auto Care. It doesn't matter if you want to get your windshield wiper blade changed, your oil changed, or you're having some transmission issues, you can go to Precision Tune in Opelika off of Pepperell Parkway and Veterans and feel like you're going to get the true answer. Trust is big, particularly in a vertical where trust is usually abused, okay? So you can trust these guys. You can depend on them. You're going to get a full 360 inspection report with videos and pictures every single time you go in. So show them some love. It's Precision Tune Auto Care in Opelika. And then remember, right before the show started, we talked about buyauburn.com. Do business with Auburn people everywhere. We've got a professional business network with Auburn alumni and Auburn fan-owned businesses. So if you want to do, if you got to spend money, shoot, man, start with Auburn businesses. I mean, you could be on a trip in Biloxi, okay? You could be in Biloxi, Mississippi, and you're like, man, I want to get a workout in. We got a gym in Biloxi that's owned by Auburn folks, Soar Bungee Fitness. That's the kind of stuff you're going to find at buyauburn.com. It's not just Auburn local businesses. It's Auburn all across the country. So go to buyauburn.com today. We'll be back right after this. Let's talk returners. And this could be a similar conversation. It's not just like who's going to be the best on the field. It's the messaging around some of the guys that you brought back that I think are very important. And I'm going to start with Xavier Adkins. You're like, oh, wow, big step out. There's a reason why, okay? Who was the first player that was announced to come back? It was Xavier Adkins, okay? So this staff rubber-stamped Xavier Adkins as one of the most important players on the current roster that they paid and they wanted to be the focal point of this team, okay? So when you stamp somebody like that, you need them to perform. Last year, unfortunately, sometimes your success can put maybe even some unrealistic expectations on your shoulders. I worked for a company one time, and it was a sales company. There was an old guy that worked there, and he always told me, he's like, hey, you want to be right in the middle. In the middle's camouflage. He's like, if you're too high, everybody will expect you to continue to be too high. If you're too low, obviously that's not good. Right in the middle's camouflage. So obviously that's not what I expect Xavier Adkins to be, is just a right there in the middle linebacker. He's incredible. But when you have an All-American season, people are going to have those expectations. I mean, he had he led the team in sacks last year. It's not super realistic for a linebacker to go like back-to-back years like that from the position that he plays and lead the team in sacks. But sack numbers are not going to necessarily determine how successful his year is. He had a lot of tackles for loss, a lot of big plays, a lot of turnovers, a lot of stops created. It's important for him to come close to that same level of production this year. Not just for Auburn's success, but hey, they anointed him. They knighted him the most important returner of this team from last year. And I don't disagree with him. It's really hard for me to point to a disagreement from them kind of breaking down and deciding, okay, who's the most important? Boom, we're going to go with Xavier Adkins. I think that was a great move. another guy that I think needs to be along the same lines, and I think they you're seeing him out there a lot. You're seeing his name out there a lot. Eric Winters. That's another guy, man, that they invested a ton in keeping, okay? When you pick a guy that you want to sort of be the focal point of the back end of your defense, hey, every other safety rotated all spring. Hey, we're bringing in guys here. We're bringing in guys there. Eric Winters didn't change. He's out there, my guy. He is going to be a huge part of this defense. He's got a single digit now, which obviously makes him at least 10 to 15% better. I think that's how the science works. Eric Winters, definitely going to be very important. And then my last one is Jeremiah Cobb. There are literally billions of running backs that you could go get in the portal. There are so many running backs available. There's so many guys out there that are probably pretty good players. And Jeremiah Cobb, man, you got to hand it to him. He's been through some stuff. He's really, really been through the ringer as far as what he's lived through since he's been here, you know, committed to another staff, signed with a different staff, hasn't really won. And last year, he started to really break out as a feature back. And it feels like he's going to be the feature back again this year. They, and again, another anointing. We believe in you. We want you to be our feature guy. Need him to perform. Need him to pop off. I think I have all the confidence in the world that he can do that. But it's another guy that, again, when you push your chips in on someone, you really, really need them to come through for you. If you're Alex Golish and you're like, man, I'm all in. Jeremiah Cobb, pushing him to the middle. You need that one to pop. I'd love to know y'all's thoughts. Do you like my list? Do you hate my list? Do you understand the perspective that I'm talking about? Do you agree with it? Do you disagree? Hit me up in the comments. Would love to chat back and forth about that. But that's my most important guys. I don't necessarily disagree with, you know, Brad Crawford's list. I mean, I think Deshaun Womack's very important. You got to rush the passer. I just think there's some other guys too that could possibly, you know, make that happen. And then obviously I don't disagree with Byron Brown. He's extremely, extremely important, but that's almost too obvious. Let's talk hoops really quick. Auburn is making their return, believe it or not. I know people probably thought the season was shut down. We were going to go play in the Sun Belt next year after because we, you know, didn't make the tournament and, you know, played in the NIT. And nobody would ever want to schedule us. We're not, you know, regarded as one of the top programs in the country anymore. And so on and so forth. Auburn makes their return to the pretty exclusive Players Era Invitational Tournament, you know, the big NIL tournament. The Players, let me make sure I get this right. Players Era Men's College Basketball Championships. Let's go. It's in Las Vegas. Auburn played last year, remember. Won their first two games. I think who they beat? They beat Oregon, then St. John's, and then was absolutely dismantled by Michigan. They're going back again. The field is changing a little bit, and I honestly like Auburn's side better than even the bigger side. They're going to have a field of 8 and a field of 16, and it's going to be basically two different tournaments. But Auburn's 8, okay, is Auburn, obviously, Florida, who's going to be one of the top teams in the country, Houston, Kansas, Notre Dame, Rutgers, UNLV, and West Virginia. It's a pretty solid lineup right there. So another big opportunity. I know that, again, everybody thought we'd be starting to schedule like all of the, you know, all the schools in the state of Alabama, all the, you know, junior colleges and colleges and the Barry universities and all the schools that we, you know, we're scheduling back in, you know, the Lebo and the Barbie era, and Auburn's done. Pack it up, back up the truck, and turn this place into a parking lot. I know that's what we thought was going to happen to basketball, but it's not. The roster we're putting together, roster Stevens putting together, is very, very intriguing. Still waiting to fill that last spot. To me, it feels like the longer this goes, the more obvious that they're waiting on Mantis Rubstavičius from Lithuania. They're working on that eligibility. And I feel like the longer it goes, the more confident they are that you're going to get at least 1 year out of him, which is all you really want. He's that good. It'd be kind of wild to wait this long and let other players go elsewhere and then get bad news and he doesn't end up being eligible and he can't come to Auburn. And then you're kind of left sitting with your hands out like, oh dear, what do we do now? Yeah, Auburn basketball is still very highly regarded. They're still going to play in the marquee games. Now you got to go compete and you go win them. So that'll be fun to watch. It's the weekend before or the week before Thanksgiving. So give us something fun to watch in November, along with hopefully some really fun football as well. Guys, I really thanks for listening. I really, really appreciate it. If you need some real estate help in the Auburn Opelika area, hit me up, KyleRush@KW.com. Y'all have a great, great, phenomenal weekend. We'll be back again soon. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening and drive home safely.